standing, let us pray. Dear loving and gracious God, we praise and thank you for your revealed truth in Scripture. We thank you for giving us Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And you have made us worthy to stand in front of you and praise you. We thank you for the truth that sets us free. And we give thanks in the name and in the power and in the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. The internet and social media, such as Facebook and Twitter, are game changers when it comes to figuring out fact from fiction, lies from truth. People search the internet, for instance, medical sites, to diagnose medical conditions and to find cures, and we know that does not end well. Well, it might be a good thing to know as much as possible about your own health. Believing everything you read on a website or a blog, I think, is a dangerous practice. Truth be told, we need to develop a critical mindset to anything in the culture that purports to be the truth. And the media would like us to believe that truth is a relative thing. Now, when someone says the truth is relative, it normally means there is perhaps no absolute truth. If you believe it, it's true for you. Yes, there are plenty of things in the world that are not relative. The temperature outside is an absolute quantity. The amount of time that you experience between waking up and falling asleep is an absolute quantity. So yes, there are absolutes. And the challenge in the first part of the 21st century is being able to discern between misleading and false information. To discern between fact and fiction, lies and truth. And the whole notion of what is true or changes from day to day, hour by hour, minute by minute. Just when you think you have all these mini truths figured out, another one comes along. So what is truth? Truth is not a new topic in Scripture or Judeo-Christian theology. It has a long history in Jewish thinking. And there are many complex Hebrew words about truth. I'm just going to give you a couple. The word truth is related to the word amen, A-M-E-N or E-M-E-N, which means to support, sustain, establish, that is the verb, and the noun muna, that means firmness or faithfulness. Truth characterizes God and the people. God is the God of truth, and God is steadfast and unwavering. And truth is behind God's covenantal love, and God is steadfast, dependable, trustworthy, and unwavering. And in the gospel reading this morning, those who brought Jesus to Pilate to have him condemned to death as a traitor rejected the truth with a capital T. And you know, Jesus had been betrayed by just about everybody, even his closest friends. He had been brought to Pilate. He actually had been brought by the clergy to be dealt with. The religious leaders of the day were setting up the Son of God to be put to death. They were dropping him off at Pilate's house, the home of a Gentile. For if they had gone inside the Gentile's home, they would not have been allowed to celebrate Passover. So what kind of truths did they believe? What religious traditions were they upholding and defending, even to the point of having their Messiah condemned as a common criminal? What did these pious people consider acceptable truth about the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Joseph? The text reveals a short conversation between Jesus and Pilate. Hello, Winifred. Do you want to come up here? Okay, you go explore. And it goes something like this. Pilate asks him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus says, "Well, look, did you hear that from others, or is that something you're saying?" Jesus is always direct. He never practices political correctness. And Pilate snaps back, "Hey, I'm not a Jew. Your own people brought you here. What have you done that they're so upset that I have to be woken up in the middle of the night to settle this squabble? And Jesus answers with a sigh, I'm sure. Oh, my kingdom is not of this world. What kind of a kingdom does Jesus have? He never owned a castle, a palace, or a large estate. He never decided what laws would be debated and passed. He only had two laws. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. He never commanded an air force, an army, or a navy. He favored the poor, the outcast, the rejected, the blind, the lame, little children, widows, and convicts. And in the kingdom of Jesus, there is no Canada custom and revenue to collect taxes. That kingdom takes 33% of our income. And in Jesus' kingdom, you are not required to submit a T4 form at the end of April. And there are no bills with his face on it. No loonies or toonies with his name engraved. All this king has ever required is the abundance of our hearts. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this place. My kingdom is theological, not political. I command loyalty from my subjects, my disciples, but I do not have an earthly throne. And I am not a victim of human tragedy, treachery. I freely walk towards the cross for my Abba's will to be done through me. I willingly go to my death because I know my purpose, and it is not what this earthly judgment could ever comprehend. God is in charge, and I, the Son, faithfully fulfill the mission. Cynical, power mad, delusional Pilate thought he knew the truth, because he thought that all truth is relative, that it cannot stand on its own, but needs to be evaluated against another. Humans often believe what is true is what the majority of people believe is true. Some of us, like Pilate, may believe that whatever advances our own personal power or agenda is the truth. Justice becomes whatever works or whatever gets the job done. With Jesus and the Word, we have a standard for truth and a guidebook for human behavior. We have truths that stand on their own merit and do not need to be propped up by circumstances, situation, or human philosophies. Because the truth of Jesus does not live in a set of ideas or propositions. The absolute truth of Jesus Christ and what is entrusted to the church is a living reality. The crucified and risen Christ who stands at the center of our Christian faith. A person, not a set of ideas. So the cross reminds us that the central question we are forced to ask ourselves, and which subsequently all people need to ask, is, who do you say Jesus Christ is? It is not, do you believe this idea or that idea? The real truth of the cross, the answer to Pilate's question is, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. The story of the cross is the story of a God who loves wayward children to the point where he stooped down from heaven to meet them. Suffered and died to demonstrate the full extent of his overwhelming compassion for you and me. God journeyed into a far country, enduring the suffering, pain, and agony to meet us and embrace us. And like a great beacon, the cross stands as a sign calling us to discover the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the cross who counted us worthy of so great a sacrifice. We are worthy of such a great sacrifice. Why would God, who loves us so much, spend so much time out of relationship with him? Why did the cross have to happen? In the end, I don't know that those questions are terribly important. I think the important point is the cross did happen, and that astonishing and incredible though it may seem, God loves us and gave himself for us. The truth Pilate rejects is this: when I am lifted up, I will draw all to myself. John 12:32. Then as now, the truth of the cross is charged with the power, love, and compassion of God. For if you die with me, you will live with me. If you share in my suffering, you will share in my glory. And it is through the cross that God meets us in our lostness and finds us, setting us on a road which leads us home. A road which Christ has gone before, blazing a trail we are able to follow, and knowing that by doing so, we pass from death to eternal life. By walking the path, we receive the promise of abundant life, richness of relationships, freedom from paralyzing anxiety, opportunity to learn, listen, and grow, and the comfort of knowing that we are not alone. We are not alone. That God watches over us. So this morning, as we gather to praise and pray and listen to the word, do we trust Jesus with our lives? Can we give up control of what we perceive and our limited capacity as truth to receive the truth of the cross? All Jesus says is just listen to my voice. Right now, in this place, on the last Sunday before Advent, celebrating the reign of Christ, Jesus is inviting us to recommit our lives completely to him. He's saying, to all who receive me, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. Believe that we are so loved by God and we are made for God's pleasure, for God's purpose. And believe that no matter what you have done, no matter, it doesn't matter, God forgives. Accept and then receive. Accept God's forgiveness for all our wrongdoing and receive the Holy Spirit who gives us the power to fulfill our life's purpose. For Lord, I believe in you, and I accept and receive you. For I know and I trust that the truth will set us free. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, who in the work of creation commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, we pray for the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that it may shine into the hearts of all your people, dispelling the darkness of ignorance and unbelief, and reveal the knowledge of your glory and your eternal truth. And we ask this so boldly in your name. Amen.